866, let me review a little bit. Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches says, V'chi sag yishun iver lizboyach. When this part of the complaint, Gemara Yom Mordechai, this part of the complaint that Hashem has to Klal Yisrael, V'chi sag yishun iver lizboyach. When you come near me to bring an animal that's blind, the word sag yishun means to come near me. How do you come near me? By bringing a carbon. The meaning of the word carbon means to come near. Iver, an animal that's blind. Lizboyach. Einra. And what do you say? You say, Einra, you say to yourself that there's nothing wrong. V'chisag yishu piseach v'choyle Einra. And when you bring near a piseach, an animal that's blind, v'choyle, you say, Einra. Hashem says, would you have the chutzpah to bring this animal to your governor? Would your governor accept it? Or hayisafonecha? Omar Hashem tzivakos. V'yata now, chaluna fneikel v'chonenu. Now I want you to pray to Hashem. V'chonenu. V'chonenu means make an attempt. Make an attempt to find favor in the eyes of Hashem. And you will discover that Hashem is not going to accept it. He's not going to accept your sacrifices that are not sincere. And the only one you have to blame for your problems is yourself. It's your own doing. Hayisa mikem panim. Will Hashem show you favor? Amar Hashem. Now, okay, since Thursday, so let's go over the mitzvahs again to recap. We'll go very quickly just to recap what's going on over here. The mitzvahs, I'm back on page 867. When a person brings a carbon that's blind, the person who brings the carbon says that I have done nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with bringing an animal that's blind. Why does the Kohanim say there's nothing wrong with bringing an animal that's blind? It's because in your eyes, the Mizbeach is a disgraced, a disgusting thing. And therefore, that is why you do not consider it wrong or disrespectful to bring upon the Mizbeach an object that is also disgraceful. Ucha Oimer, this means to say, Hine bozeatem misavim karboni v'zehu bizyoin shumi. You look at the Mizbeach as an object of disgust, and therefore that's why you have no problem offering on the Mizbeach objects that are repulsive.
Is this Nevuah being said to the Oilei from coming people who just came back from Golus, Bavel?
No.
When is this time when they're bringing these disgusting...
You're asking a very good question. Mordechai is asking a very good question. He's really asking a tough question, because Malachi lived at the time of the Binyan Bayis Sheni. Malachi is not living at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Bayis Rishon was, seemingly Malachi was born after. Malachi was the last. You're asking a very good question. I don't know why we think about this. Because Malachi is living at the time of the Binyan Bayis Sheni. The Binyan Bayis Sheni, they're not offering the Korbanos that are disgraceful. At the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, they're offering... they're rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, so we assume they're bringing korbanos which HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds favorable, not korbanos which are disgraceful. This will be something that will be appropriate to say to Klal Yisrael at the end of the Bayis Rishon, as if he's saying the reason why Hashem is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash is because he detests your korbanos. Hashem does not have any favor in any satisfaction in what you are doing. Your korbanos, they're disgusting. Therefore, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But Malachi did not live during that time period. Malachi lived during the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously did find satisfaction in our service. Otherwise, he would not allow us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So why then, here's a very good question, why then over here is Malachi criticizing Klal Yisrael for offering korbanos that are... Okay, it's hard to hear me? So the question, why is Malachi complaining about the Korbanos when he is not seemingly living in the era when Klal Yisrael is offering Korbanos which are disgraceful? You're really asking a very good question. I do not know the answer. Perhaps it could be one of two things. Either he is issuing them a warning. It's really more of a warning that don't let it ever come to this. He's saying that this was the cause of the Chorban Bayis Rishon to a degree. And I'm warning you, do not allow this to happen again. Or maybe he's saying that even now in the time of the Bayis Sheni, there is still an element of people doing this. I don't know. Your question is really, really solid question. I don't know the answer.
He's prophesying about what will
the future?
At the end of the second Beis HaMikdash?
Definitely. But you would not expect him to say it in his lifetime. He lived during Galus, and through the first 40 years of the Binyan Bayis Sheni. So he was living at the time of rebirth. He was living at the time when Klal Yisrael was once again getting back together, was putting themselves back together.
If he was Ezra HaSofer, certainly he was directing the people properly.
You're right, I don't know the answer. I don't know. We have to keep that in mind. You have to definitely, this is a really good thing. It's a really good question. We have to keep this in mind. So over here, the point over here that this is the Yisod. The Yisod over here, this subject is a theme. You never really appreciated this part. I think is that the reason why there's a new element being added here by all the Mefarshim. The reason why Klal Yisrael is offering on the Mizbeach korbanos that are defective is because they look at the Mizbeach as an object of the Zion. Mr. Marillis, good morning. How are? How was your fast?
Good.
Okay,
get older, gets easier.
I don't have a microphone today. The microphone is broken. I broke it. So we have to.
Wouldn't it make sense if they thought that the Mizbeach is insignificant and unimportant, that Korbanos likewise, they partially wouldn't give Korbanos? What's the point of giving defective Korbanos? What's
going
to do? You know, if somebody is insignificant, so you avoid him. You don't look for ways to.
I don't know. Let's see. But the main insight is they view the Mizbeach as an object of disgust. Because on the Mizbeach, you bring blood and chelev, you put disgusting things. So therefore, they jump to the conclusion that if the Mizbeach is an object of disgust, what is so horrible about bringing on the Mizbeach disgusting animals? Animals that are blind, that are defective, that are lame, that have issues. What's the problem? This is a very interesting concept. When you bring a korban, the Mizbeach, the reason, is giving us the reason of as to why a person would put on the Mizbeach an animal that is defective. It's because it's going to a place that is disgusting. See, personally, I never looked at it like that. See, in my ignorance, I always assumed that the reason why you don't bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu a korban that's blind or defective. In the story of the Churban, when Bar Kamsa he put a blemish in the eye and the lip of the animal, the korban of the Kesar, I always assumed the problem is because it's just not Derech Eretz. The korban, the gift, has to be choshev. So if the animal is defective, that's not nice. When you go to a dignitary and you bring a gift, you bring something that is beautiful, something that is expensive. So the Mitzudos and the other Mefarshim are not saying that. They're saying the problem is because you view the destination, I guess it's really all the same. It is and it's not. The Mizbeach is a disgusting location. So therefore, what's so terrible about bringing on the Mizbeach objects that are disgusting? Now, does that relate to the king? Let's try to give an example. Let's say you have a king, a melech, and the melech he rules the world. This, yeah, Melech Basav Adam. But the Melech is a slob. He's a slob. And you go to his dining room, it's filthy dirty. His whole home, that's just how it is. That's how he is. He's not a person that, you know, that's dignified. So on the one hand, the Melech is Choshev. He has the power of life and death. But on the other hand, the location to where you're going to deliver the gift, the food that you're going to deliver, you're going to bring into a kitchen, that's disgusting, that's filthy dirty. So does a person, let's say, but when you bring a gift to such a king, are you going to say, oh, since the king is a slob, his home is a slob, no, I'll bring him garbage. Or do you say, no, but even though his home, he may be a slob and his home is filthy dirty, but the bottom line is, he's the boss. And if he's the boss, you bring to the boss something that is choshev. How do you look at it? I don't know. Over here, Mitzudos is introducing an entirely new element. The Malachi is not coming to criticize Klal Yisrael that you don't appreciate who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. You do appreciate who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. You are makir Hashem's greatness. He doesn't say it otherwise. The issue that he's coming to address is that you consider the Mizbeach, the dining room table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be disgusting. And therefore, even though you're coming to an Adam Choshev, an Adam Gadol, why should I bother to bring something Choshev? You know, if you think about this, I think back to Purim. I remember years ago when I'll go to visit my Rebbeim on Purim. So sometimes you have a very popular Rebbe, has many Talmidim from all the years. Good morning, Shalom. Good morning. By the way, I'm sorry, I don't have a microphone today. The microphone is not functioning today.
Well, excellent, an unbelievable presentation yesterday.
Are you watching?
You gave, I enjoyed it very
Thank
much.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What? Thank you very much. Thank you. So here's the issue. I remember years ago go to a rabbi, and this becomes a little more relevant to me now that you're twisting my mind, Mr. Mordechai. Come to a rabbi, a very choshev rabbi, a very popular rabbi that everyone loves. You come into the house on Purim, and there's chaos. There's mamish chaos because the rabbi's a little bit drunk, and the boys are certainly, you know, high school boys. are not exactly very disciplined. And you come there, you come to the house, and it's chaos. And you bring him, my mother gave me a very nice mishloach manos, a chosh, an expensive mishloach manos, to give to the Rebbe. And you come to the Rebbe, you walk into the house, and there are people that are drunk, everyone is rolling all over the place, and the dining room table where we're sitting is full of mishloach manos. Everyone brought, come and just dumped down on the table mishloach manos. And you bring the Rebbe, the Mishloach Manos, and you put it on the table, and it gets lost in this chaos. The dining room table is full of 20 Mishloach Manos of boys, and people start pulling things out of the baskets and start drinking the wine and doing this, doing that. So I say to myself, it's a shame. Why did my mother give me such an expensive Mishloach Manos to give to the Rebbe to put down over here on this table where he's not going to appreciate it, because the table is dirty. The table is just full of wine, spilled wine and crumbs and this chaos. Now, what about the Rebbe? We love the Rebbe. The Rebbe is the most amazing person. Everyone loves the Rebbe. The Rebbe's there and he kisses you and he hugs you and everything is good and fine. But it's just not the right setting. It's just not the right environment to give to the Rebbe a Mishloach Manos that's choshev. Because the table that the Rebbe is sitting at is dirty. It's in a state of chaos. So that's really what the Mitzudas David seems to be saying. He's over here, Malachi is not criticizing Klal Yisrael for their lack of appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as Mordechai said very well, we're living now, Malachi is living during the time of the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. There is a relationship. Hashem is pulling the strings and is allowing Klal Yisrael to bring to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. But still, Klal Yisrael says, what kind of korbanos should we bring? We're going to bring blind, lame, defective merchandise. You know why? Because the table of Hashem is filthy dirty. It's like the example that I gave on Purim. The Rebbe is not going to appreciate it anyway because he can't even see what's going on because the whole table is dirty with spilled wine and just things lying all over the place. That's what he says here in the Mitzvah. So read the words, one with the Pasuk Ches in the bottom of the page 867. Ubavur ze gam kisagi. Page, Mitzudos, the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David, page 867, Pasuk Ches. Uvavur ze gam kisagishin iver lizboyach ein rabbe einichem choyol vaha mizbeyach umivuze. The table is disgusting. Beinechem. Ucha omer hinebo zato atem misavim karboni vizehu bizyoin shmi. This is the issue. This is how he explains it. Okay.
Now, dismissing the Mizbeyach and Korbanos and therefore the ordinary daily oil or whatever they're bringing defective korbanos, or is it because they don't even care whether they have to bring an asham or a chatos and they're bringing defective
korbanos? They do, they have to bring the right korban, but when they bring the right korban, they're bringing defective merchandise. They have to bring, let's say they have an obligation to bring a korban chatos. The animal that they're bringing is blind. The animal they're bringing has broken bones.
Wouldn't they feel that I want Chatos and Osham to be somehow Machaper on my Avonos?
So that's exactly what we just finished explaining. All that counts is to bring an animal. The quality of the animal, it doesn't matter. I guess I gave you the example of Purim. You have to bring the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. You can be Mekayim the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos by giving a Hamantashin, one Hamantashin, and a little miniature bottle of grape juice. Miniature, not the regular mitzvah, the little one. A revius of grape juice. You mekayim the mitzvah. And how much does that cost? Recycle it. Recycle will cost you nothing. It'll cost you nothing. Someone gave it to you, so you recycle it. On the other hand, there are people on Purim who bring their rabbonim, who bring their friends, a mishloach manos, that's worth $300. I saw my own eyes, someone gave someone else a mishloach manos, and I inquired how this big thing, this very expensive fish platter, a fish platter with a very expensive bottle of schnapps. And I inquired and I learned it cost $300. At least $300 what this guy, he didn't give it to me, he gave it to this person, $300. Wow, very chasha, very, very nice. So both people, the one who gave the hamantashen and the miniature bottle of grape juice and the one that gave the $300 mishloach manos, were both mekayim the mitzvah. They get credit. Ding, ding, you get credit for the mitzvah. One of them did it bo'ifan muhuda. He gave his friend something very lavish. And the other one gave something extremely modest. Are they yoytzei the mitzvah? They yoytzei the mitzvah. Now go back to my case. A boy goes to his Rebbe on Purim. The house is chaos. All the boys are drunk. And the table is a chorbin. And the wife of the Rebbe in the kitchen is beside herself. And look what these crazy guys are doing to her house. They're ripping apart the house. And you come into the house. And the Rebbe is also a little bit high. And you bring the Rebbe Mishloach Manos. And you put the Mishloach Manos on the table. On the table. What do you say to yourself? What a waste of money. What a waste of money. I need to go, I love the Rebbe, I have no problem with the Rebbe, but the setting over here, the chaos in the house, do I really need to go bring the Rebbe a $300 Mishloach Manos? I'm sure that in 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks, Erev Pesach, if I'll come to the Rebbe's house, it'll be immaculate, and I'll give him a check of $300 so he can pay for the matzah for Pesach, he'll be thrilled. He'll be thrilled. So that will be a chash of a thing. I'll come and give him a gift before Pesach. You know, he'll have money. He doesn't have a parnosa. I'll go give him that. Now to go put on the table a $300 mishloach manos on a table that's filthy dirty, and that's in a state of chaos, it's a waste of money. It's a waste of money. I have an obligation to bring a korban chatas, correct? So all I need to do is bring an animal. I should bring an animal that's perfect, that costs $1,000, or I can bring an animal that costs $5. The fact is, where am I bringing the animal to? I'm bringing the animal to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is filthy dirty. It's full of blood. It's full of fat. It's slippery. It's greasy. It's filthy. Ich. So nu, I have an obligation to bring my Mishloach Manos. So nu, I'll bring the Mishloach Manos to the Yoytzei. What kind of animal will I bring? I'll bring the Homentashen and a miniature bottle of grape juice. Why should I go out of my way to bring on the Mizbeach a $1,000 animal? To go here to this makam of blood and grease and fire, it's an odor, and what's this all about? This is what Malachi is coming to criticize Klal Yisrael. He's telling to them, the problem with your attitude of bringing korbanos is because you look at the Mizbeach as a filthy location. And that's wrong. Now, the question is better than the answer. Why indeed are we wrong? It is indeed full of blood and grease. And
in the first place, it was the same thing.
Yes, it was. Okay, yes, it was. You're right. So nothing has changed. The more things change, the more they stay the same. He's presenting a different perspective. You're asking a good question. Why is this argument only presented by Malachi in the Bayis Sheni, and is it not presented by the other Nevi'im in the Bayis Rishon? The only one that makes mention, as far as I limited knowledge, this concept of bringing to Hashem an animal, the Musar of bringing defective merchandise is Malachi. The Torah says you're not allowed to bring on the Mizbeach an animal that has a blemish.
There was corruption in the
Bayis Rishon also.
So what
does it have to do with the Korbanos? So besides the corruption, the only time we find a complaint to Klal Yisrael that their attitude towards the Mizbeach as being a disgusting location is only by Malachi. In the Bayis Rishon, you don't find this concept. It is forbidden to bring, it's in the Torah. You're not allowed to bring on the Mizbeach an animal that is defective. But you do not find Musar, you do not find a Kadosh Baruch Hu criticizing Klal Yisrael for bringing defective korbanos in the Bayis Rishon. You only find this in the Bayis Sheni. So now that we're thinking out loud, I would suggest to you, it's because in the Bayis Rishon, in Bayis Sheni, if he's sitting in his era, there was no longer a Yetzirah, Avodah Zarah, the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, and corresponding to that, there was no longer Nevuah, but also in the bigger picture means there was no longer an understanding of what is the purpose of bringing Korbanos. Today, you open up a chumash, you go speak to a non-Jew, or unfortunately a Jew that's not religious, a tinek shenishpa, and you read for him Parshas Vayikra, and you tell him that if a person wants to bring a gift to Hashem, you take an animal, and you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and you slaughter it, and you flay it, and you put on the mizbeach the fats, and you do this, you do that, they can say to you, what is this, you're going to be crazy? Think about, what is this all about? To take an animal, to slaughter the animal, collect its blood, and sprinkle its blood on the Mizbeach, how does this bring you closer to Hashem? Is there really any understanding of this
today?
Do we have no understanding? Exactly. So why do we understand it? We have emunah. But here's the point of Malachi. You just said, do we really understand it? No way. And all the Mefarshim will tell this to you. There is no way we can comprehend why we bring korbanos. We don't understand. You know, Chazal said that children, you teach children, the first thing, me'ikar hadin, you're supposed to teach children who start learning chumash, is chumash ha'yikra. Why? So there are different reasons. The simple reason is, yavoi tohoirim v'yasoik bataharis. Children are pure. They're pure. Let the pure children come and learn about purity. Okay, that's the pashup shot. But there are other reasons. Because if you're going to wait until they become adults or get a little bit older and you're going to tell them about korbanos, they're going to say, this doesn't make any sense. What is this all about? Any thinking person is going to say, I don't understand how taking an animal, slaughtering an animal, taking its life, collecting its blood and pouring the blood on the Mizbech and burning its fats brings me closer to Hashem. I'm not saying this. Chazal says, it is not humanly possible for us to understand this. Why? Because today, Hashem took away from us, number one, his divine presence. Number two, Hashem took away from us the koyach of prophecy. Hashem took away from us certain elements of connection to him that existed back before the Churban Bayis Rusha. Why did Hashem take these things away from us? Because it's a package deal. The same time you have these incredible koichos hanefesh to understand, to connect to Hashem in the world of spirituality, the package deal is, it's a price to pay. You have a very intense Yetzer Hara to worship idols, to bow down to brick and stone. Does anyone have any desire when you walk in the street and you see a nice stone? Do you have a taiva to bow down to the stone? You walk in the street, you see a beautiful tree. Do you have any urge to bow down to the tree and worship the tree? It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. Well, guess what? Back in the day, they did. Back in the day, today people, they walk in the street, they see an attractive woman, right? Oh, they get people ready. Their hormones start going right. They start going up. Put a meter in your body, the hormone meter. The person passes a beautiful woman, and if she's not dressed 100%, she's dressed in a provocative way, the hormone meter begins to go all the way up, 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 right? Well, you walk in the street and you see a beautiful tree or a beautiful collection of stones. That's what happened. I mean, I don't know exactly how all this works, but to some degree, there was an incredible Yetzer Hara. Do we understand this today? No way. No way.
Rabbi, good morning. I hear what you're saying, but it's possible on a Parsha Da'ifin to try to explain this. We are looking at everything the way our lives, quote unquote, modern life. But with Beis HaMikdash, that's the way it was. It was agricultural type, and they dealt with the field, dealt with behemoths. It was not so mias to them. Even today, as people who are in Shkita, it doesn't bother them, you know, because they're used to it. Anything that you're used to is not so mias. Right? So the same thing with the Mizbeach. So, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Okay, but let me just finish the thought. Today, the time of the Bayis Rishon, there was an entirely different dimension to life, a dimension of spirituality, where we really, really understood how bringing a carbon brings you closer to Hashem. It was self-understood. The same way there was the Yetzer Hara, Avodah Zarah, there was an incredible connection to Hashem, and when you bring a carbon, there was a connection. If a person would bring an animal, the Mizbeach wasn't viewed in their eyes as disgusting, as blood, as meat, with grease and odor. It was viewed as, there was an understanding. And when you understand what you're doing, there's a beauty. When a surgeon cuts open a body and does his thing, the surgeon doesn't look at the body as disgusting. He knows exactly what he's doing. There's an art. There's a science. There's a process that's taking place. A person that doesn't know what's going on, he walks into an operating room and he sees there's a body, open, cut open, and there are all different parts and there are things all over the place. This is disgusting.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. Also,
you know, but in the Bai, here's the deal. In the Bai Yisheni, when you go to the Mizbeach, there is no understanding during the entire era of the Bai Yisheni. There was no Shechina. There was no real deep understanding of what was really going on when you bring a korban. Korbanos were offered because Hashem says bring korbanos. But to appreciate the spiritual element of the korban was not understood. Chazal say this. And if it was not understood, so what are you really looking at the whole day? It's like a person who walks into an operating room, a layman, who never ever learned the Aleph Beis about biology and about science, and he walks into an operating room and he sees there's a body. He doesn't even know the body is under anesthesia, and he sees the body, that the stomach is cut open, and he sees there are organs and things lying all over, the pulled out of its place. This is disgusting. This is disgusting.
If you went to a social slaughterhouse, you'd see the same thing.
If you go into a Beis HaShechita, it's disgusting. I went, it's tacky disgusting. There's blood all over the place.
It's a holy place.
No, it's not. I mean, why is it a holy place, a Beis HaShechita? It's not a holy place. Why is it a holy place? So they're doing a mitzvah, okay? They're doing the mitzvah, but these are not korbanos. You go to Empire, the place where they do the place of Shechita, it's this blood all over the place. Especially when they shoot on the turkeys.
You see it, we'll get used to it. I could vouch for that, okay?
No, but I'm saying it's not a matter of getting used to it. Of course you get used to it. A plumber, they come and they walk into the sewer. They put on their boots, they'll walk into a cesspool. It doesn't matter to them. This is what they do every single day. That's not the point I'm trying to make. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, I'm giving you the example of a surgeon. You walk in, you see a body that's open. A surgeon whose entire life is devoted to the study of the human body and to correct issues, when he sees a body lying on the table and he opens up the body, he sees chokhmah. He sees something that no one else sees. The other regular person is disgusting. During the time of the Bayis Rishon, at the time of the Bayis Rishon, what did they see? They saw Kedusha. There was Shechina. When you go to the Mizbeach and you see on the Mizbeach a fire and you see Chelev is burning and you see blood sprinkled all over the Mizbeach, you see sanctity. Because you were living in a time of the Gilui Shechina. You see and you feel and you sense the real thing. Today, if we would go to the Beis HaMikdash, today, let's say we would build, there would be a halacha where you're allowed to go bring a carbon today. Okay, there are such opinions that said that Bizman Hazeh you can bring a carbon Pesach. Technically speaking, many of the Poskim say there's no reason why today we should not be able to bring a carbon Pesach today. Today I'm talking about on Pesach. Today, we have to just make a deal with the Arabs, give us the Temple Mount for one day, give it to us for one day, and we'll go there. And on the spot of where the Mizbech once stood, we'll go and we'll bring a carbon Pesach. If we were to do this, because Tom Hotra Betzibur, we can find a solution if we really wanted to bring a Karm Pesach today, according to some opinions. So let's say we would do it, and you would go there today, and you would shecht an animal. Don't tell me there's anyone today that's going, this is unbelievable. All they're going to see is a butcher shop there on the Har Habayis. Because there's no Shechina. And you're taking an animal, you're slaughtering the animal, no, there's blood, and you're going to sprinkle the blood, and you're going to burn the meats. So what is this? A barbecue? Because we don't have any understanding of this. Because there's no Gilui Shechina. There's no revelation of the Shechina. And that's why, and that was the price of taking away the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah. So therefore, during the era of the Bayis Sheni, when people came to the Beis HaMikdash, what did they see in the Beis HaMikdash during the entire era of the Bayis Sheni? They saw blood and fats, grease, it was slippery, and there was a lot of smoke, and there was fire. That's what they saw. That's what they saw. And they were challenged in their minds, is this really what Hashem wants from us? To bring these sacrifices? What is this all about? Well, how come this? So they looked at the Mizbech as a disgusting place, as a place of disgust.
Is that what it means when it says
Zehu
Bizayim Shema Shvi?
Yeah.
It's referring to the attitude.
The attitude. But why, again, we're coming to address the question.
Not that they brought it.
Nothing.
I'm talking
about
Moon.
The fact that they...
According to the Mitzudas, the problem is why are people bringing defective animals in the era of the Bayis Sheni? It's because they look at the Mizbeach as a disgusting place.
So the book of the Mizbeach, that's the Bizayin Shemi.
The whole thing, the Bizayin Shemi is because, the entire thing is the Bizayin Shemi. Because they look at the Mizbeach as a place of disgust.
And therefore they bring
disgusting animals. So the whole thing package. Is one big, a whole package is one big bezoyin. Again, why wasn't this a problem in the Bayis Rishon? In the Bayis Rishon, you never have such musa. In the Bayis Rishon, the musa is always, what are you worshipping idols? Idols, idols, idols. What's with the Avodah Zarah? There's never, but sometimes they come, they bring korbanos. But when the Jews, they brought korbanos, when they finally had enough of the Avodah Zarah, and they brought a korban, they brought the best. They brought the most chashuv of korbanos. They brought korbanos, they came to the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach, oh, wow, what an uplifting experience to come to the Mizbeach. You don't find a complaint that the
Malachi never saw the Bayis
Rishon. No, exactly. He never saw the Bayis Rishon. He never saw the Bayis Rishon. He would have to be 100, 140 years old.
Only one who made the
complaint? Yes, yes. Exactly, that's exactly what we're discussing now. It's exactly what we're trying to address. You don't find anywhere in the time of the Bayis Rishon that a Navi complained that you're bringing on the Mizbeach defective merchandise. You don't find a Musa. The Musa you find about the Bayis Rishon is, why are you guys murderers? Why are you people obsessed with immorality? Gili Arayis. Why are you worshipping the trees, the Asherah? Why you worship the Baal? But when they did come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a carbon to Hashem, does it say anywhere, why are you bringing me defective merchandise? No, when they came to the Beis HaMikdash, they brought a good carbon. They brought a carbon that's proper. Why only in the time of the Bayis Sheni are we getting Musa for bringing defective merchandise?
Because obviously the Malbim is learning that it only happened in the Bayis Sheni.
So why? That's the question. Why did it only happen in the time of the Bayis Sheni?
People changed and it became like a...
Why, what changed?
The Malbim lived.
Not the Malbim, I'm talking about the Metzudos. The Metzudos.
Oh, okay.
Shimon HaTzadik first started. Shimon HaTzadik started his career when Malachi died. Malachi died 40 years into the Churban. And that's when Shimon HaTzadik entered. That was the transition. Shimon HaTzadik, he met with Alexander the Great on basically the same time that Malachi died. Was it the same day? I doubt it. I don't know. Maybe it was the same day, but the time when Malachi died was the time when Shimon HaTzadik met with Alexander the Great. But why is there a new Musar, new criticism of Klal Yisrael that only occurred during the time of the Bayis Rishon? So the mashal I'm giving you is, during the time of the Bayis Rishon, everyone in Klal Yisrael was a surgeon. Everyone went to Harvard Medical School and they knew anatomy, and when they walked into an operating room, they saw a body lying flat on the table with the stomach cut all the way open and all of the organs were pulled out of their place. They said, wow, let us analyze. Let's see exactly what's going on over here to correct a problem. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, Klal Yisrael didn't even study basic biology in elementary school. And when they walked into an operating room, they just saw a body lying on the table, cut over, and they said, ugh, what in the world is going on over here? This is disgusting. Because if you don't have the skill and the background to understand what you're looking at, then indeed it's disgusting. In the time of the Bayis Rishon, they understood what korbanos really meant. They understood the mechanics of korbanos.
But in an easy way, like the same day that the first place of Mikdash was at Yetzer Hara.
Right, that's exactly why.
We can't understand it.
Exactly.
The same like with the second place of Mikdash, we cannot understand the concept of what you're saying.
Exactly.
So it's totally the opposite.
So it's disgusting.
And this is something that we have to have a Muna. And by questioning it back and forth, we don't understand it. And also we don't have maybe the kayak to want to understand it, to understand how important it was in the first place in Mikdash. We have to separate both of them and look at it that way, and say like we have to understand that the Yetzer Hara that once existed doesn't exist now. So they're both of the opposite, but they're
exactly.
The same in a sense of understanding it.
Everyone has this. You go to shul, and let's say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So some people are bored out of their minds. They're looking at their watch. The shliach tzibur is singing and being marich, and the people there at the shul, it's torture. But the shliach tzibur is having a ball. He's having the time of his life.
He should turn around and look at the people every once in a
while. He's having the time of his life. So why is the shliach tzibur having the time of his life, and the people in the audience? Why is it torture? Because the shliach tzibur, he prepared for this the whole year. He knows all the nuances. He's a professional. Rav Kalman can attest. The shliach tzibur has hano. It's a day. It's an incredible day. But the people in the audience, if they, yeah.
I saw Eliyahu Navi. I went to a bris now.
Yes.
That's why I came late. So I saw Eliyahu Navi was there. I don't know who he was, but
he was there. If you know, if you appreciate something, it's a whole different. I know there was. I go to these programs on Tishrei. So I know there was a speaker there. Someone got up there to speak, and I know Sony said to him, and the speaker, he loves to speak. He loves it. This guy, he waits the whole year for Tisha B'Av to get to speak. So I saw that one of his friends, only a friend can say this, they just, halavai, we should have so much hana on Tisha B'Av during the year, like you have hana on Tisha B'Av. The pleasure you have getting up to talk to whoever you think you're talking to, halavai, we should have such pleasure in our lives, yeah.
That by definition, the korbanos are making and bringing the people korayv to Hashem.
It's all good and true.
The Torah says
it's,
that.
But it's all good and true. But the bottom line is, today, if we would today build an altar, let's say make believe, we would go, nothing is changing. Let's say Mashiach is not here, the world, oylam kimin hagoynog, and let's say the Arabs decide, you know what, we don't want the Temple Mount anymore, we're out of here, goodbye. And they're going to be people, okay, so they're gone, so we'll go, we'll build the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Go build the Beis HaMikdash. We'll go to build the Mizbeach. And now they're going to bring Korbanos. If we would go today and watch them bring a Korban, what would we say? We would say the same thing. We would say, this is a disgusting place. All I see here is blood and grease and fire and the smell of burning meat. What's going on over here? You ever go to a slaughterhouse? I was very shaken up when I went to Empire. So they shech their birds. It's a very sad story to see how they go. They have crates and crates like a death camp for the birds. It's horrible. The birds know. It's very clear. The birds know what's coming. That's what's so sad about it. They try to shelter them a little bit, and they starve them. You know, by law, they don't give them food for 24 hours. Birds. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you not eating for 20, like yesterday, Tisha B'Av, 25 hours of no food? So birds, these teeny little creatures, they starve them for 24 hours before they slaughter them. Because if they give them food, the food is not digested fully, and it remains in their stomach, and it's unhealthy. It produces bacteria, disease. So therefore, when they do the shchitz by law, this is the FDA. These are the laws. They're not allowed to feed birds for 24 hours before they kill them.
They drink water.
They do give them water? I'm not even sure. But food, they don't feed them for 24 hours. The FDA doesn't care about tzav, because if there's going to be some undigested food in their stomach, it's not healthy. It's schmutz, and it creates disease, illness. So it has to be clean. I'm talking about birds, in birds, and this becomes a very big kashrus issue, because they're literally starving to death. So what do? In the crates, when they're in the crates waiting, they start eating each other. They start eating, pulling off feathers from their fellow birds, and if they find a pebble, that's like gold. A pebble, they eat the pebble, and you know what happens with the pebble? It goes into their intestines and makes them trefa. It makes holes in their intestines. Most of the trefas they find when they do the bedika, they find pebbles. they find pebbles in their intestines. You know why they find pebbles? Because they're starving to death. So it's not fun not to eat. So you go to the empire, oh, this is not a very fun place to go. Then when they shech turkeys, when they shech birds, they shech the bird is dead, 1, 2, 3. Takes 1, 2, 3, the bird is dead. When they shech the turkey, it's very frightening. It's a different law, and they do it very slowly. The turkeys shake violently. You never saw this. I mean, and the violence, how the turkeys, they're very big turkeys. When they shech the turkey shakes like for almost 60 seconds, violently. And as it shakes, it splatters blood coming out of its throat all over the place. And in this chamber, the walls are like, whoa. You look at the walls in this room over here, spattered with blood. So you walk into what in the Beis HaMikdash, was it any different? They had a couple, many years ago, the videos that were leaked from Peter, leaked videos of the Beis HaShechita. When they do Shechita, they show the animal, they show the animals. It's not a very pleasant thing to watch. It's not for the faint of heart to watch to how they slaughter a behemoth gasa. It's not a very pleasant thing to watch how they. Could you imagine the Beis HaMikdash, they did this every single day, and people had to bring korbanos? It's a traumatic experience for the faint of heart to come and watch it. So the Kohanim also did this. If they said, this is a disgusting place here. This is disgusting. This is what we do? This is what we do here the whole day. We kill animals.
They call it Beit HaMikdash behind.
A slaughter.
It's like a slaughterhouse.
So Bezman Shebeis in the Bayis Rishon, when the Shekhinah was resting upon Klal Yisrael, when you saw the blood, you didn't see blood. You saw the neshama of the animal. When you saw the chalavim, you was like a surgeon. You're like the shliach tzibur. You understood. You saw the spiritual mechanics. You're like a Swiss watchmaker. You open up for me a Swiss watch. I look at. I don't see anything. All I see is metal. I don't know what I'm looking at. I just see a lot of circles. I don't know one world. You show this to an expert. Oh! There's tremendous chokhmah. Okay, you go. I went going to go to a program on Tisha B'Av. So there's the team of the technicians who sometimes don't know what they're doing either. They're like me. Look at this table here. You see all these wires. What does it look like? What's going on over here? Wires. This wire. That. This is hanging down. And this hanging. This green and white and yellow. And these things are plugged together. What's going on over here? But a person who lives and breathes understands the chokhmah. You understand that's a splitter for the internet, and that's a wireless Ethernet port, and that's the power port, that's the microphone. If you understand what you're looking at, it's beautiful. This is art. The same way in the physical world we appreciate this, in the spiritual world it's no different. When you bring a carbon, and you do the shechita, and the blood comes forth, and you do the zrika.
The
shechita is not done. It's on the north. The shechita is never done on the mizbeach.
On the side.
Well, birds. Actually, birds they do on the mizbeach. Birds, but not. You know why? Because birds will choke to death. Wait. They do the shechita. I'm getting confused already. Whatever. I don't know. Take that back. I'm confused already. But they do the shechita not on the mizbeach. If you don't know what you're looking at,
they do
malika
on the birds.
They do malika on the birds, but they don't want the birds to choke. They do malika on the birds. I don't remember. So the birds are getting to choke from the smoke.
Malacha means it's not being done in the mizbeach.
Okay, right. The shechit of animals is for sure never ever done in the mizbeach.
It's
not done in the mizbeach. But it's very simple analogy. This answers the question that you asked, Rav Mordechai, in the beginning of the shir. In the time of the Bayis Rishon, there was something in the air. There was spirituality. There was the divine presence. When you looked at a korban being slaughtered, you saw what was meant to be seen. You saw the neshama of the animal being brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was something that's supernatural, which we can't define.
Representative of your own neshama,
whoever works, the average man was able to fully understand, to comprehend the mechanics of korbanos. So when you look at the wires over here, you understand what you're saying. This is not someone who walks into the room over here. What's going on over here? All these crazy wires. But if you're a technician, you understand what's going on. You're curious. You did this. Chochma, I see what you did. Brilliant. So in the world of spirituality, there was never a complaint in the Beis HaMikdash. No one ever looked at the Mizbeach as a dirty place. They looked at the Mizbeach with all of its blood, smoke, meat, smell of burning meat as a place of beauty. Because they understood how it works. They understood everything that works. You ever go into a dentist's office and you see on the side all of his tools? What do you need so many tools for? What's going on over here? What's this collection of tools here? Because if you don't know the business, it just looks like a pile of metal. But if you understand it, oh, I see, you have the latest technology and you have this and you have that. In the Bayis Sheni, we're lost. We're clueless. There's no Shekhinah. When we bring a carbon, the Beis HaMikdash for 420 years was a butcher shop. Let's be realistic. If there's no Gilui Shekhinah, so why do we bring carbonos? Because Hashem said, bring a carbon. You have to appreciate that at the time of the Bayis Sheni, bringing a carbon was a much greater Mesiras Nefesh than the time of the Bayis Rishon. Godol yiyeh kvoid habayis ha'acharon min harishon. You know why? Because the Bayis Sheni was real emuna. In the Bayis Rishon, you understood what was happening. You understood the mechanics. I understand. Oh, of course I bring a carbon. Who doesn't want to live? If I don't bring the carbon, I'm going to die. I did a terrible avera. Zachiv karis. So you understand why you need to bring a carbon. You feel it. In the Bayis Sheni, you don't know nothing. You don't see what's going on. So why do you bring karbanos? Hashem told me to bring karbanos. Do I understand? No. So why do you do it? Hashem told me to do it. Goyim, they always mock us. What are you wearing? Tefillin. What are you wearing? Tzitzis. What are you doing? This. What in the world are you doing on Sukkot? You're taking a lulav and an esrog. What's going on here? I remember many years ago, I can never get his mind, Ivanka Trump and Jared, it's probably about 5 years ago, they were going to shul on Sukkos, and the paparazzi got a hold of them, and they started bang, 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 taking their pictures, and they put out the pictures all over the world, and the paparazzi, the media, had no clue what in the world was she holding this thing, this stick, this green stick, with this fruit, with these leaves coming out. They had the mamash, and they Ivanka Trump, you know, the latest fashion trend. What is she wearing? What is this? What is that? Jared, what kind of tie is he wearing? What is he doing? The stroller, you know, everything. Jared, he bought for his wife Ivanka flowers for the holiday. Och and they, such flowers. That's what they thought the lulav and the esrog was. He bought for his wife flowers for the holiday. If you would buy for your wife such flowers for the holiday, I don't think it would go very well. Oiski clapped to Hoshana. They should have showed what the Arabis looked like on Hoshana Rabbah. These are the flowers that Jared bought for his wife. They probably said the marriage is in trouble. If these are the flowers that Jared bought for his wife. If you don't know what you're looking at, you're in a lot of trouble. And the Mesiras Nefesh of Klal Yisrael in the era of the Bayis Sheni is awesome. To bring every single day a carbon to Hashem and really have no real appreciation of what you do. I know you're going to tell me it represents you. Yeah, I go for it. Believe me, you gotta make sense out of it the best that you can. But we all know the MS is that if there is no revelation of Hashem's divine presence, we cannot possibly appreciate what is happening when you bring a carbon. The same way you cannot appreciate the Nusach HaTfilah if you're not trained as a professional chazon, and you cannot appreciate what it means, a collection of wires. You go to a wedding, you see there, they have a whole sound system there by the orchestra. What in the world is all this? All these wires and gadgets. You can't appreciate if you don't know what it's all about. You can't appreciate anything in life if you don't know what it's all about. Go to a bakery, you understand what's going on over there. If you don't know the art, there's nothing to talk about. In the Beis HaMikdash, we're clueless the entire 420 years. And yet we did it. We brought the Korbanos be'amuna pshuta. That is greatness. That's a darg of greatness that did not exist in the Bayis Rishon. We're living in the dark, and we still did it. Godol yiyeh kivoid habayis ha'acharoin yoyser min harishoin. That's godless. That's real greatness, the Bayis Sheni. So now, this is the nesoyon. Because the truth is, most people don't know what's going on. No one knows what's going on. And therefore, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, what do you see? You see a butcher shop. A butcher shop. So what difference does it make if I bring a blind animal, I bring an animal whose leg is broken, an animal that smells? What's the difference? It's a butcher shop anyway. What's the difference? That is why this complaint was only lodged against Klal Yisrael in the era of the Bayis Sheni and not in the Bayis Rishon. This is the Nesoyon. When you come to Shul, it's the same thing. Is it a burden? Well, if you have no appreciation of davening, yeah, it's a big burden. So if it's a big burden, what difference does it make?
I have a question. Are you saying that we take this pasuk literally, that they brought animals that have mumin?
I believe so. I believe that ein mikra yoytze midei pshuta.
We had the story,
yeah,
Tisha B'Av story, about how scrupulous they were, to make sure that there were no mumin offered. We had that story.
Okay, so that was 420 years later.
I understand, but we don't have a time frame for this here.
Okay. Eilu v'eilu. Generally, ein mikra yoytze midei pshuta. What happens if you put a stumbling block in front of a blind man? Okay, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. So Chazal explained this means don't give someone bad advice. Don't try to mislead the person. Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. I have a friend, he really almost lost his shirt. Now he has problems. He had a business, he had a really, really good business. And he imported, he did a service for buildings, without going into too much detail. This seems to happen, this type of wickedness happens very often, it seems, in business. He had a business, he imported certain material, certain types of a product from China. It's very, very, very expensive. A certain type of product which is very hard to make in America for different reasons, but in China it can be made very easily for very, very cheaply. And he imported this material, and he needs many different varieties of this type of product. And he does work for building different buildings, new construction, and he has competitors, and he got some very good jobs, and there are certain things that he was missing, certain products that was missing. So his competitor is very gracious. He says, I'll give you whatever you need. You need in order to finish the job. And he's here, don't worry. He gave him whatever he needed. And this happened again and again. And basically he relied upon him. And you'll pay me later. Don't pay me now. You'll pay me when you're able to. Not now, it's not important now. And so he did this, he went and this went on for a while. And the bill was quite a bill. He already owed this person quite a sum of money. And Vayehi Hayoyim, the competitor knew exactly what he was doing. He said, okay, you know, I'm expanding my business. I need you to pay me back now. Here's the bill. You owe me the money. All of a sudden, he wasn't so friendly. I want to be paid now. And if you don't pay me now, I'll take you to court.
A what?
I'll take you to court. And he knew that he was vulnerable at this point in time. And he basically, oh, you can't pay me? I'll tell you what, I'll just take over your business for payment. Your business is evaluated at this amount of money. I'll just swallow you up. You'll work for me. I'll own your business. And my friend had to really scramble to borrow money to pay back the choiv, so his competitor shouldn't basically crush the competition by taking him over. And what I understand, this goes on quite a bit in the business world, this type of technique. You have a competitor, And the way you eliminate the competition is by basically partnering with them, but having them owe you a lot of money in the process. And then one day you just swoop in and you knock him out. And he learned the lesson. And you think people are your friends? Watch out in the business world, how dirty it is. So how did I get into this discussion? I don't remember anymore. I'm forgetting everything I just said. How did I get into that thought? I don't remember. I totally forgot. I suddenly was some connection over here.
All I know is I asked you if they literally brought.
Oh. So did they literally? So all right. That's all I got. So what this competition did was lifnei iver lo sitein nichshol. That's really what Chazal say. What these people did to him is the perfect example of live before a blind person. He was blind in understanding what they're trying to do to him. They're really devious, cruel people trying to wipe him out. So he was iver, not literally, but he was iver in what they were trying to do. And they put before him a michshol. What was the michshol? They actually gave him something. Gave him a product in order to chop him. That's what it means, according to Chazal. That's mamish what the pasuk means. That's an example. So let me ask you the question, Ramachal. What happens if you see on the street a blind man walking down the street? Mamish blind. With a stick. Well, stick means he's not totally blind. He's walking down. And you go and you take, oh, there's a blind man coming. You go over and you find a massive stone. And you put right in front of him a stone. Right in front of him a stone. And then the blind man walks and he trips on the stone. He falls down and gets hurt. Is the person who did that in violation of the lo saseh, lifnei iver, lo sitein michshol? So you'd be shocked to learn, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Not according to all Rishonim. What? Yes, that's the question. So how far does... So what is he chayef for? He's chayef for because of mazik. There are other... I don't know all the details. There are many psukim in the Torah that can fit into what that person did. But if the person wants to warn him, let's say you have a person, you know, to get punished in Bez, and you need witnesses, and you need hasra. Let us say two witnesses come and say to this fellow, sir, if you do this, you're going to get malchus. You're going to get lashes. Because you're now about to violate the loisase, lifnei iver, lo sitei nichshol. No, that's not the right pasuk. You're warning me for the wrong pasuk. What are you doing? It's shocking, right? It's shocking. Sometimes a halach in the Torah is not even meant to be taken literally. It's meant to be taken figuratively. But on the other hand, Mr. Klein, what's your first name? I forgot your first name. He said, lifnei iver, ein mikra yoytze midei pshutai. Okay, you have to know, you have to study the big books and see what it says. So here, Michal is asking, it says over here, you bring me animals that are blind, that smell, have broken bones. Hakriveo no lefecha secha. So, does this to be taken literally that the Jewish people in time of the Beis Hamikdash actually did this, or does it mean your attitude? Your attitude is, this is a burden. This is a disgusting service. Who needs it? I don't know the answer. I'm assuming both. I assume that yes, people. If he said it, the default, the baseline is always Ein Mikra Yoytze Midei Peshutoi. That's the baseline. And then on top of that, we develop and we elaborate upon this concept. All right, let's just finish up a little bit of the Mesudas David. We're getting really sidetracked lately. Let me just finish up. We're getting a little bit of a chazar from last week, but we had to read page 870. I'm sorry. Let me just clarify. No, I'm sorry. 869. Okay, in the Mesudas David. Let us finish up believing to this David. Hakriveu b'choin ata hadavar. Test. Why don't you do a forensic test? Go to Arizona and watch how they do a forensic audit. And you can then go do the same thing. go and bring to your governor, to your mayor, to your president, an animal. Bring him an animal that's blind, that's lame, that smells, and see what he says to you. See his reaction. Hakriveu b'choin ata. Test. Why not? Do a test. Do a forensic test. Do a test. Ata adav v'hakriv me'achas me'ele l'doyroin. L'doyroin as the gift. L'fecho secho to your governor. Will he be satisfied? Will he find it acceptable, this gift? If you're guilty of a crime, will your governor forgive you when you bring?
Wasn't the common man who was guilty? Was the Kohanim who weren't screening the animals?
Say it again?
It wasn't the common man bringing the carbon that was guilty. It was the Kohanim who weren't screening the
animals. It was both. It has to be both. It has to be. You asked this last week. We know that there was a system in place at some point in time where you don't bring your animals. They don't want your animals. Just give us money, credit card, and we will then we have a whole service here that selects the animals. You get a ticket, you pay the price, you have a ticket, you bring the ticket to the Kohen, and the Kohen will offer a pre-approved animal. Animal has already been vetted, that there's no blemishes. So you say that the Kohanim, they were corrupt. They kept in the pen animals that were blind and smelled and defective. Yeah, absolutely. But maybe there were also eras where people brought their own private animals. Or the fact that there was tolerance of such wrongdoing.
Can you say that it applies to the person that brings the animal, that he's blind like the animal, that people didn't bring to the Chaper, they bought it?
The covet. Cover. They wanted the picture. They wanted a selfie to hang up and shoot. It doesn't seem so. It seems the reading of the word Iver is going on the animal. It doesn't say that it's going on the person.
So
that's not the reading that's the question. Okay, but we're dealing here with the animal. The word Iver Peseach is referring to the animal.
Right. The animal were makar.
They were corrupt. That's the Musar. The Musar is the reason why we're going to the root cause of your attitude. There is a horrible attitude being presented here. There's a horrible attitude that's being presented here, and that attitude results in bringing to Hashem korbanos that are defective. And what's the, so? And therefore Hashem says, I want you to test. Go try to bring a defective animal to your governor. See what he says to you. Is he going to give you honor? In other words, let's say you did not commit a crime. Let's say you did not commit a crime. It's just you want to give him a gift. When you go to someone for Shabbos, you go to a simcha, and the Baal Simcha puts you up in the home of one of his neighbors. So you come there, what do? What's the minhag? You bring them a bottle of wine. You bring them something from Onatz. You want to be really fancy, you go to the nuttery. You ever go to the nuttery? I was once in Bar Park with someone who, and he said, we were there, he asked me, I should come with him with a Mamash Rosh Shiva. Mamash Rosh Shiva. And he was there with a little of an Eshrug and whatever. Okay, we got it. Let's go now to the nuttery. You know the nuttery is in Bar Park.
An insane asylum.
You know what? Insane asylum. You're saying very good. You know the nuttery. So you know over here. Everyone knows own nuts, right? So the nuttery is like the own nuts and steroids. Okay. It's like
FAO Schwartz of nuts.
Oh, excellent! The FAO Schwartz of a toy store. That of the own nuts. Just like the FAO Schwartz of relative to an ordinary 99-cent toy store. So to the nuttery. So the Rashidi takes me into the nuttery and he starts showing me all the different products. And he explains to me the mile of this thing and of this thing. And then he shows me, see that woman there in the corner? She's the balabas here. She's watching us. She's watching what people like, so she can make new products. And my jaws dropped. How do you know all this? How do you know all the nuance, what's going on? So he's basically, it's his family. he's related to one of the people over there. He knows who he did business. He knows some. He knows the whole thing from whatever. And like he's showing, like, wow, I never knew a Rashi that has such bikias in candy and in the whole operation. And as you see the boxes, you see the my brother supplies them with the boxes. He goes to China and gets them the boxes. He's part of whatever. He knows the whole story. But so here he's saying over here, try when you go to a simcha and the Baal HaSimcha puts you up. So what do you bring? You bring a bottle of wine. You bring own us. If you want to be fancy, you go to the nuttery and you bring really fancy. Could you imagine going to the Baal Simcha and you take out of your refrigerator a bottle of a Coca-Cola that's only from a month ago, that's only 25% full, and it's all fizz, all the fizz has gone out, right? An old bottle of Coca-Cola that has some grease on it on the top from eating, and it's only 25% full, no fizz, and you bring it to the Baal, to the host. You go to a simcha for Sheva Brachas. You come, they put you up. I want to give you a gift. Here is a 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola. 25% full, no fizz, from 3 weeks ago. Here is what I want to present you as a token of my appreciation for putting me up in your beautiful home. You're never going to be going back there again. That's for sure. It's disgusting. What are you, crazy? That's what you bring the host as a gift? You're out of your mind? Hashem says, go, I want you to try. Go do that. That's exactly what you're doing when you bring me a disgusting animal on the Mizbeach. What kind of nonsense is this? You bring me an animal that's blind? You bring me a bottle of Coca-Cola 25% full with no fizz? What kind of nonsense is this? If you're looking for honor, you're not going to get on. Next words. I say, begin another test. Hashem, the pasuk, I want you to do another test. I want you to daven to me. And so this is a very profound mitzvah. He says, here, you brought the carbon. Now, when you bring a carbon, it's not the animal. It's the tefillah that accompanies the carbon that brings ratzon. I want you to say, Hashem, please forgive us. Be good to us in the merit of the kohanim who are bringing you disgusting animals. Oh, you really think Hashem's going to be mekabel those tefillos? Asu b'china, do test. Va'atiru ba'adeinu, daven to Hashem. El Hashem, im yechan anoysan, if he will favor us, bavur tfilaschem, haloi hame'era hamishalachas bo hi bavurchem. The curse that's coming upon you is because of your sins. V'chi mechamaschem yisolon uponim. Haloi ein katega naases sonegar. The kohanim who are engaged in this corruption, in this disgusting, they're part of the problem. They're not the solution. They're part of the problem. Ein kategor naases sonegar. The accusing angel cannot be the defender. Okay, you cannot have, in the court of law, you cannot have, you know, this is a very interesting idea. People today, they really, this is one of the big problems of our generation. Big problem that they really never existed in probably world history. Where people really believe in their minds, they really believe you can have everything. It's just a matter of knowing how to maneuver. You can be, if you really know, you're cool, you're savvy, and you know how to play the game, you can be very rich. You just got to know what stocks to buy, hang out with the right people, know how to manipulate the system, you'll be phenomenally wealthy. And also, I can be at the same time the biggest Rosh Hashiva, the biggest Talmud Chacham. I know how to learn, I'm a smart guy, I know how to learn, I know how to give a Daf Yomi, say Shalosh Shudas Torah. I can be a big Talmud Chacham. I can get up. I'm the big, big Darshan. I can do that also. And I can give advice. And I can be on the board of all the yeshivas. People really think today, really believe today, Torah u'gedula is attainable for anyone. Any the average Joe can have whatever they want. That is Sheker Gomor. You cannot have everything. You have to have priorities. you have to focus on one thing. A lot of every, a little of everything is a lot of nothing. You have to have priorities. There's a rule. Chazal really said, taught us this rule. Ein kategor nase sanegor. If you're a lawyer, if you have a court case, think about it. If you're a lawyer and you're going before the judge and the fellow is guilty of what appears to be murder and you're coming to defend him, to be melamed zechus on him, if in your mind, you know, if they would just pay me now, the prosecutor would pay me now, you have to go before the judge and make an argument. I'm being paid by the defense attorney to make an argument before the judge. This man is innocent. He's innocent. Or the other way around. And 10 minutes before we go before the judge, and let's say you're a world-class lawyer, right? The big lawyer of the day. Big lawyer, the whole thing. You get paid millions of dollars to make your arguments before the judges. And 10 minutes before the case begins, let's say you're the defender. The defense team comes and says, you know, how much they're paying you? They're paying you $1 million? Come, we'll give you $2 million. We'll give you $2 million. Join our team to be the defense and let your assistant, no, he'll take over for the prosecutor. We'll pay you $2 million. Oh, $2 million? Okay, I switch teams. I'm now gonna present the defense. You're a phony. If you can get up before the judge and argue with passion to defend the person, he should not die, when 10 minutes ago you were ready to go before the judge to plead and to prove with clarity and certainty that this man is a wicked man and must be put to death, that goes to show that you're the biggest phony in the world. Such an argument, ein kategor nasa sanegor, doesn't just mean, oh, you know, you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash to come with gold, because gold, it was the egel. It's much more than that. If you are really a kategor, your essence is prosecution. A prosecutor does not see in his mind any defense. If they say, we'll give you $2 million to defend him, I'm sorry, there is no defense. I believe in what I do. This man is a murderer. He's guilty. That's the law. I believe in it. I believe in this with my full heart and soul. You can give me $10 million. I am not going to switch sides and use my talent of dibur to defend him because it's a sheker. The essence of a prosecutor is to prosecute. Ein kategor nase sanegor. If you're able to switch sides for a couple of bucks, it goes to show that you're not really a kategor. Whatever you do, you have to do it be'emuna shleim and believe in it with your full heart and soul. If you believe in learning, this is your role in life, there's no time to get involved in all this shenanigans of making millions of dollars through all the wheeling and dealing. It takes a lot of time, and you're involved in making money. You know, it consumes you. It consumes you. There's always, you know, every second you got to make adjustments. It doesn't go easy. Learning, it's all consuming. It's all, if you are a person who is kula Torah, there's no way you're going to find any time and space in your life to devote significant amounts of time to making money. If you're a person that wants to conquer the world, good for you. Kol hakavod, with all the brachas. But don't tell me you're also the biggest Rosh Hashim, the biggest Gadol Hador. If you are involved in making money, it's all consuming. That's the way Hashem made people. You'll tell me, oh, there are maybe yechidim, shebi yechidim, you can even, maybe you can count on your fingers in a generation, people that can have Torah, Gdul, B'makom, Mechnas, even that. But that's not the way it goes. Ein kategor nase sanegor. Mitzvahs over here is saying is, these Kohanim are so corrupt, you can't take the corruption out of them. Don't go tell me, oh, they'll bring now a nice carbon. Oh, and it's going to be a kapara for you. The essence of these people, the corruption has seeped into their bones to such a degree, there's nothing. Some politicians are like this. Rabbi Chol, you agree with me, Rabbi Chol? Rabbi Chol still here? Okay, there are some politicians that they're so corrupt, they're so wishy-washy, they live a life of politicians. It's like they're like a breed, a bria bifnei atzma. Just whatever, you know, whatever the people want, whatever the times are, they have nothing from themselves, nothing on themselves. Like at the last stories, I always go back to this, it was the Jewish Action many years ago, even when we first started. It was such a fantastic article. A person who's a Shoyme Shabbos screenwriter. A screenwriter, screenwriter, he writes television shows. They interviewed this person. He writes mamish plots for movies and television shows. And he knows all the celebrities. All the celebrities. Says many of them are so shallow. They're so empty. They have nothing. Their whole life is to follow a script. You create a character on a television show or in a movie. You create a character. Oh, I'm that character. I'm going to play that part. And the next day, oh, I'm going to be now a villain. And the next day, they're going to be this. And then when all the movies are over, who are you? Who are you? Who's the real you? Nothing. Nothing. They're like, their whole existence is to be make-believe, is to be part, is to find themselves. That's not life. Life is to have something real. And whatever is real about you, you can't break out of that. This is who you are. Ein kateger nase sanega. Okay, we're going to stop here, take a short break, we're not very much. We're going to take a short break, we're going to do a little bit. I want to talk about Nechama. Today is the day of Nechama. Nachamu, nachamu ami. Chatzos is the time when all the restrictions come to an end. It's a time for Nechama. Today, the 10th day of Av, is the day when the majority of the Beis HaMikdash burned down. And the fire stopped at Chatzos. Chatzos Hayom is when the Churban is over and we rebuild. It's a time. 103 today. 103 is the magic moment.
We don't have a barber's appointment, forget it.
So we want to talk about some ideas of Nechama after we return from our little break. I hope you all had an easy fast yesterday. Everyone recovered?
Oh, many years ago, my wife and I went to Las Vegas. We saw a show. Everyone recommended this guy. Here's the reasons. Who is this guy? Out of Vegas. He got up there and he imitated the best voices, Frank Sinatra, everyone. He was great. And at the end, he says, I'm going to sing this in my own voice. He sang in his own voice. He was like boring, as plain as can be. When he sang as Frank Sinatra, he was like phenomenal. Yeah. So he himself.
It's amazing. I know, it's a very common thing. It's a very common. It was Michael, I don't know if it was Sami Rav or someone else who was about tefillah. It was a very powerful about tefillah. And then there was a wedding, and one of his chassidim, can I imitate the Rebbe? Can I imitate the Rebbe? So yes, he imitated the Rebbe. Imitated him doing the Ilah or Musaf and Yom Kippur. And the chassid imitated the Rebbe to such a degree of perfection, people were astonished. And the Rebbe was mamash, remember, was crying. It's mamash crying. Why are you crying? So he said to him, I realize from you that every year, I just imitate myself. I don't really daven for real.
He's putting on a show.
Yeah. I'm the same way you're imitating me, I'm just imitating myself, and I'm not davening. That's powerful muscle. That's powerful stuff. How is your Tisha
B'Av? She didn't want to come again today. She passed away, okay? She didn't want to come. No, I don't think she did. I don't think it is.
I have a good Rosh Hashiva joke. There was once a Rosh Hashiva in a restaurant, so the waiter comes over to the lady.
The same day is Nidma. I did what I say. The same day is Nidma. That's the talking. All right.
Gershavshikas are related to you?
Yeah. Which Gershavshikas?
I saw some Gershavshikas on Facebook in Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your fast?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. And you, Rabbi?
It wasn't so easy.
Yeah, because you're lecturing all morning.
Yeah.
Does anyone know if they moved the clock before you came around?
Does anybody know what?
When did they move the clock? Before you came or after?
Rabbi Levine.
There's no kinis, I need a kinis. Oh, I need a kinis part of the kinis.
They threw in a shamus. The reason I'm giving them this.
That's what a mamash can find. It's a thing. I have to do it orally. We'll have to turn Shabbat. All right, let's learn a little bit. All right, by side, I'm just curious. Did anyone have yesterday a meaningful Tisha B'Av?
Did anyone have?
A what?
A meaningful Tisha B'Av.
Yes, I did.
Where did you go, Mr. Rapper? Let me hear what you did. Let's hear.
Well, I listened to Torah anytime. It was, some of the speakers were very good. Rabbi Pesach Kron was excellent. Rabbi Goldwasser was very good. Rabbi Kron, it's interesting, he had a drush on Shema Yisrael, what to say. He had some other inyanim that I found very interesting. Rabbi Goldwasser, the main theme of most of the Rabbanim who spoke was a Havas Chinam. They focused more on antidote, so to speak, to the Churban Bayosheni than Bayos Rishon. They didn't speak too much about Avodah Zarah, Gilui Rosh, Rostama, all the other practices that the Jews in the first Churban did. You know, business, although they should have, maybe business activities. I've been reading M.E.O. It's interesting, but business transactions the Jews did, Lashon Hara, the Jews did in the Bayos Rishon, adultery, all the main three that M.E.O. seems to focus on in the first couple of parashas. But it was meaningful. I mean, to listen to them, they had very, some of the Sephardic speakers were, Rabbanim, were excellent. Those who spoke Havas Chinam. It was really, really a very good, exciting presentation. How was your presentation, Rabbi Levin?
All right, anyone else had an interesting experience yesterday?
Yeah. I went to very interesting things. Rabbi Wallenstein, I went to the Kol of Bnei Torah, and Rabbi Wallenstein spoke. I mean, to me, it was very sharp thing that he said. What's the difference between serving Hashem out of fear or serving Hashem out of love? Everybody understands love is better, but what's the difference? So he said, if you serve Hashem out of fear, if you or a boss, whatever, out of fear, so if the boss is not around, so if you have the opportunity, you'll do it. If you serve somebody out of love,
right,
and even if they're not around, you won't put everything in the room. Right, that's the answer. And another thing, I heard from Rabbi Weisman, he said, let's say like an American war, he said, you're not allowed to kill. Torah also said, you're not allowed to kill.
It used to be that one.
Okay, whatever, you know, there are many laws that we have to say. So what's the big difference if you do it because it's an American war or if you do it because it's in the Torah? Ultimately, it's the same law. So he said very interestingly, I found it very, a very sharp difference. He said there are a lot of American wars where the person feels he's entitled to it. He feels
entitlement.
You provide me this service, you have to provide me this thing. He said the Torah attitude is, you are mechuyev to give.
Right. Don't ask what your country can do for you.
Yes, what you can do for
your country. Yes, you do your country. Kennedy.
If you think about it, it makes a very big difference.